Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
What's up? So, it's probably 5 or 6 years ago, my wife and I were going on a trip. We had to go to the airport because we were flying there, and we took these bags. And if you've ever been to the airport, you have to fly, you have to check your bags. What do? You have to go up, you have to talk to the person, you have to put it on a little machine, and they weigh the bags to make sure that the bags don't weigh too much. Well, one bag weighed too much. I won't say who, but it wasn't mine. And it was about 10 pounds over the weight. Luckily for us, someone else's bag, not my wife's, was underweight. And so we took some of the contents of the heavy bag. We put it into the less heavy bag. We weighed them again. They both passed the inspection, and they both checked, and they went. We went on to have a glorious trip. Now, many of you have had the same experience. You've been to an airport. You have to weigh the bag. Do you know why they charge you a fee if it weighs too much? It's not just because they can. Well, it kind of is because they can. But one of the reasons, I think, is because if it weighs more, what else do they do? Have you ever noticed when it weighs too much, they put a big sticker on it, right? It says, heavy. You're like, is that a personal attack? Like, what's happening here? But they put a big sticker on it that says, heavy. And the reason they do that is the reason I think they actually charge you extra for the bag. It's because there are people that handle these bags all day long, right? And they can look at a bag and they know how much it's supposed to weigh because they deal with them all day long. Now, if you think this bag is supposed to weigh 50 pounds, but it's 80 pounds, right? And you just went and grabbed it to sling it, you're going to pull your back out. You know, you're going to pull your shoulder out. And if you're old like me, you're going to just hurt yourself completely. And so what they have to do is they have to put this sticker on it to warn the people, hey, be ready, be alert. Even though this bag looks like everything else, it's heavier. There's more stuff going on inside it, so you want to be more careful when you're picking it up. See, that's why they put the stickers there. Because from looking at it from the outside, you can't tell how much it weighs. You can't tell what's going on. You can't tell what's inside. Now, you're all supposed to go, ooh, because that's supposed to be like a really profound point, right? It's not at all. Of course you can't tell what's inside, moron, right? Like, Trey, it's a bag. Of course you can't tell what's inside. But this applies perfectly to where we're going today with our message. Some of you are thinking, well, I can't quite see it, but don't worry, you'll get there. If you weren't with us last week, we began a series that we called Sticks and Stones, and it's a series all about the words we use, about how we communicate with each other. And as we said last week, here's the amazing thing about living on this planet, right? We have this God who loves us completely. We have a God who loved us so much that he sent his son to rescue us. You may not even know you need to be rescued, but you do need to be rescued. I needed to be rescued. We all needed to be rescued because we were born separated from God. He sent his son Jesus to make it possible for us to have a relationship with God. But not only did he do that, he actually wants to make our life better here and now. He wants to give us the best life possible, which is why we're talking about our words, because you've experienced it and I've experienced it. Our words can get us into a lot of trouble. Our words can cause a lot of pain. Our words can actually lift us up. So last week, we began a series talking about our words, specifically talking about the power of our words. And if you missed last week, I highly encourage you to go home at some point this week and catch back up. You can go right here to wellspringchurch.tv/sticks and stones. We're putting every week of the series is going to be there. You want to make sure you go back and catch that because it built the foundation for where we're going today. I'm not going to be able to go back and cover all that again. But I will give you a quick recap. Last week we talked about the weight of words. We talked about how much they weigh. And we talked about that they can be dangerous. And so we have to handle our words properly. In fact, here's what we said about words last week. We said we have to respect their power before we can use them properly. And what I challenge you to do is to go home and to begin just observing the power of your words, observing the weight of your words, observing the weight of other people's words on you, because until you become aware that there's weight there, you can't do anything about it, right? Now, today we're going to address why there's weight in your words. And the reason there's weight in your words is the same reason some of these bags weigh 20 pounds and some of these bags weigh 50 pounds. Because it's not the bag. It's not the word. It's what's in the bag that makes it weigh more. And in the very same way, it's what's in your words. It's the things that your words reveal. It's the things that your words express that actually cause the problems and actually cause the pain. Because your words come with baggage. Because you have baggage, and I have baggage, and we all have baggage, and we all have hang-ups, and we all have issues, and we all have things that we struggle with, and we all have things that we need to get over, and we all have things that we need to forgive, and we all have things we need to move past. And our words are one of the biggest ways that those things come out. Think about it. Think about the last time you got in a fight, and maybe something came out you didn't mean to come out. You're like, where'd that come from? Well, it came from the fact that there was something going on inside of you that you've never dealt with. Something going on inside of you that no one else could see, that no one else could be aware of. There was no warning label. There's stuff going inside of me you're not aware of. And until we actually focus on what's going on inside of us, we'll never be able to change what's coming out of us. Now, most people, what they do, right? If you're like me, if you're like most people, if you're having a conversation, it turns into an argument, and you say something you regret, you say something you didn't mean, you say something that comes out too mean, too harshly, what do? Right? We blame it on the other person. We say, I'm glad you laughed. We do. We blame it on the other person. We say, well, if you hadn't said this, or if you hadn't done that, or if you hadn't been so mean, or if you hadn't been so rude, or if you hadn't done this, if you hadn't said that, then I wouldn't have said what I said. I wouldn't have done what I'd done if you hadn't done what you did. But if you're a parent in the room, you've heard this before, and if you're not, you need to hear it. What do we say to our kids, right? We tell our kids all the time, I don't care about what your friends did. I don't care about other people's behavior. Because you can't control other people's behavior. Whose behavior can you control? Your behavior, right? If it's true for our kids, guess what? True for us too. So, as I said last week, if you're here today thinking, I am so glad she's here, I am so glad he's going to hear this. What was that address, Sticks and Stones? I've got to text this to some people, right? Share it if it's helpful, I understand. But this is not a series about fixing other people's communication. This is a series about you partnering with the God of the universe to fix your communication, to change what's happening in you and what's coming out of you. And if by God's grace and mercy and goodness, he chooses to use what's happening in you to change someone else, to him be all the glory. But that is not the point of the series. And I say that because if that is the point that you come in with, it's not going to work. Because where we're going today is all about us. And it's all about what's inside of us. It's all about the baggage that we all carry. And it's all about the weight that that baggage is giving our words. And that weight is what's causing the pain and crushing other people. Now, to help you understand why I would say that, we're going to turn to a man, maybe you've heard of him, his name's Jesus. And good, you're aware. All right, good, that's helpful. Well done. See, Jesus actually discusses this very issue. He talks about our words, and he explains why they are so heavy. Let me get these out of the way. I'm going to run into them. He explains why they weigh so much. And it comes out in a very unique situation. Jesus was a friend of everybody. He loved people. He was always around people. He never really got in many arguments except, go figure, with the religious people of the day. Jesus fought with them all the time. Everybody else he got along with, sinners, prostitutes, he was fine. Religious people, they were fighting all the time. So do with that what you will. And they really got bothered with Jesus because Jesus didn't always observe the ceremonies they wanted them to observe. The one we're going to look at today, they got really bothered because his disciples didn't ceremonially clean their hands. That doesn't mean they didn't wash their hands. They weren't gross. They washed their hands. They just didn't go through the ceremony that they wanted them to go through, right? And so the religious leaders come to Jesus and they're like, man, what's wrong with you? Why don't you guys do this ceremonial cleansing? Because, you know, it's not good. They're defiling themselves. They're making themselves dirty because they aren't doing the ceremonial cleansing. Right? And then Jesus says something that is so remarkable that his disciples have to come back to him later and say, please explain that. I don't understand what you just said, but I'm telling you, it's so perfect for us today because it fully explains why our words weigh so much. It explains the baggage that's attached to our words, and it begins to give us an idea of how we can solve that problem. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 15. Matthew is the first book we have in our New Testament. It's the first biography of Jesus' life written by a guy named Matthew. He was an eyewitness. He was with Jesus for 3 years, saw him die, saw him come back to life, and then he decided to write a biography of Jesus' life. And here's what Jesus says to the religious leaders who are getting on him because they're not doing the right ceremonies, right? They're worrying about external things. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus says in verse 15, chapter 15, verse 11, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's not what goes into your mouth that makes you unclean. See, defiled is a word that matters because the reason Jesus had to come is because we're defiled. The reason Jesus had to come is because we stepped outside of God's plan for our life and we sinned, which made us unclean. It made us unholy. And when Jesus came and died on the cross, his sacrifice for us, the blood that was spilled, literally washed us clean. Because he took all the sin you've committed and I've committed and everybody will ever commit for the history of the world, and he took the punishment on himself. And he wiped it away. And these guys are worrying about washing of hands. And he says, no, you're missing the point. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. Watch this. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. He's like, you guys have got it reversed. It's not out here. It's what's in here. The words that come out defile you. The words that come out make you unclean. The words that come out make you feel guilty. The words that come out reveal something. Now, with the religious leaders, that was it. They left because Jesus embarrassed them, and they got mad, and they went to their corner and probably commented on someone's blog on the internet. It's probably what they did. And so they left. And then the disciples come to Jesus, and they're like, okay, you just said something that we don't really understand. We need you to help us. And this guy named Simon Peter, who was kind of one of the more bold disciples, kind of goes to Jesus a few verses later. Here's what he says. He says, hey, can you explain to us the parable that says people aren't defiled by what they eat? Can you explain that? Because you kind of said that, and it was kind of crazy and weird and sounded like there's more there, but we don't really understand it. Jesus responds in a very funny way to me. Jesus responds, don't you understand yet? Like, apparently he's been discussing this with them. He's been covering it. Don't you understand yet? Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. You understand what that means, right? I don't have to explain that. Good. I don't need to go to the Greek on that one, right? We're all together on what that means. All right, good. He said, anything you eat, and it's gone. But watch this. But the words you speak, he pauses. He says, but the words you speak. The words you speak, look what they do, come from the heart. They come from inside. Look what he says. He says, that's what defiles you. He's saying it's not these things on the outside. It's not this little behavior. It's not all that. The words you speak, because they come from your heart. They come from inside. That's what's defiling you. Why? He tells us, for from the heart come all evil thoughts, murder, adultery, and all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. He's saying, you guys are worrying about the wrong thing. You're all obsessed with the outside. You're all obsessed with the external behavior. You're all obsessed with looking the right way and acting the right way and doing the right things and being at the right places. He's saying, you've got it reversed. It's the inside that matters. And your words matter because your words are revealing what's going on inside your heart. They're revealing the anger. They're revealing the bitterness. They're revealing the unforgiveness. Revealing the jealousy. Revealing the struggles. Revealing all the things that you think you're keeping inside. That's why I care so much about your words. And that's why today we're talking about your words and we're talking about the baggage associated with your words. Because this series is about fixing our words, right? It's about speaking the way God wants us to speak. And we can't do that until we tackle what's going on inside of us. Because see, what Jesus is doing is he's revealing a fundamental principle about communication, about the way we speak to each other. And here's what it is. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, our words reveal what we seek to conceal. Think about it. Our words reveal what we seek to conceal. Our words reveal the struggles. Our words reveal the bitterness. Our words reveal the anger. Our words reveal the issues that we say, oh, no, no, I'm fine. Oh, no, no, they're gone. Oh, no, no, it's not a big deal at all. Our words reveal them. Here's how I know it's true. Think about the last time you and your best friend or you and your girlfriend or you and your spouse or you and your kids or you and your parents, whoever, had a fight. And I mean a real fight. And it was a fight about something that happened recently. But I'd be willing to bet everything I have that at some point in that fight about something recent, one of you brought up something not recent. One of you went way back in the archives. Right? You maybe went back some days, maybe some weeks, maybe some months, maybe some of you went back some decades. Because things got tense and you felt in a corner. So you went digging. And you were like, oh, wait, if I bring this out, I'm going to win. So, bam! Well, you were mean to me when I was 7. Ha! It's like, you're 52. What are you talking about? We've all done it, right? We've all been in the middle of an argument. And sometimes it happens without us even knowing, without us even realizing it. This thing just from the past just comes up. Ha, 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 here I am. And it's like an outer body experience. You watch yourself say it, and you're like, why did I bring that? Oh, this has got to be terrible. And then you fight forever. And it was all because there was something inside of you that was weighing you down. And you had no idea what was in there because you pushed it away, because you didn't want to deal with it, because you didn't want to handle it, because you had said, you know what, I can filter this. I can control this. I can handle this. I don't have to actually deal with that. I don't have to forgive that. I don't have to get over that. I can control myself. Let me help you understand from a biological standpoint how that's not possible. All right? We are not wired to keep stuff like that in. And it really goes back to something that helped us survive when we would run into bears. All right? There used to be a time in our life when you'd be walking through the woods or walking home or whatever, and a bear could pop up. Right? And if a bear popped up, it's really good to have something called a fight or flight response. Right? Fight or flight is an automatic response our body has when we sense danger. When we sense trouble, it starts right above our kidneys in something called our adrenal glands. Our adrenal glands kick in, and they start pumping adrenaline into our body. This happens without thinking about it. When the adrenal glands kick in, the brain realizes, there's more adrenaline in my body than normal. It pumps blood to the extremities because it's getting ready to fight or it's getting ready to flee. Again, this is all really helpful if you're going to run into a bear. Because it's really helpful not to see a bear and go, all right, adrenal glands, go. Like, it's really helpful that they just go, right? So you see bear and you run. I don't know what to do if you run into a bear. I don't know. Google it, all right? I would just cry. But I'm like, no. All right, we had a good run. But this happens. So even though we no longer live in a bear culture, even though we no longer live in a place where bears could come at any moment, our body still does that. Whenever our body senses stress, tension, danger, which for most of us now, the most dangerous thing we do is fight with our spouse, right? Or fight with our friend, or fight with our boss, or fight with our kids. And so our body doesn't know the difference. It thinks, bear! And so the adrenaline starts pumping. And the brain notices the adrenaline. And so it starts pumping blood out of the brain. You know the first place it takes the blood from? From your calm, rational, decision-making center of your brain. Because if you need to fight or flee, you don't need to be thinking about how to do math, right? You just need to go. And so what happens when the blood pumps out of your brain to your extremities, get ready to fight or flight, that filter that you've been using for years, that filter you've been using for decades in your rational thinking part of your brain, that you filter it out, it's gone, Jack. It is just wide open. It just opens up. And guess what? When it opens up, if it's inside, it's coming outside. So don't blame yourself, don't blame them. We're broken. It's how we are me. But I go through all that to explain the idea of dealing with these issues, of concealing these issues, of just putting these issues away will not work if you truly desire to join your Heavenly Father in transforming the way you communicate with each other. It just will not work. Because, as Jesus says, our words reveal what we seek to conceal. They just will. And you know it. Because you've experienced it. You've been on the receiving end of it. You've been on the giving end of it. So, what I would like to do now is let's talk about how to deal with what's inside. Let's talk about how to deal with the issues that weigh us down. Here in the safety and comfort of this room, this air-conditioned room with comfortable chairs, nobody's looking around, we're not going to embarrass you. I want you right now to take an honest look at yourself, to take an honest look at the fights you continue to have, to take an honest look at the struggles you have. And I want you to ask yourself, what's my baggage? What are my struggles? Let's go further. Who do I need to forgive? Who am I so jealous of I don't know what to do? Why am I so bitter about this? Now, to do this, guys, you gotta get in there. I mean, you gotta open up the bag and if I can figure out how to open it. Yeah, you got to look. You know, you got to take what's in the dark and put a little light in it. Oh, look at that. I think we've been looking for that. There it is. Oh. I opened the other bag last service. But see, we have issues. And if you really want to know what your issues are, if you really want to solve this problem, ask your spouse what your issues are. Because they know. They know. If you want to have fun this afternoon, go home, you and your spouse, and write down each other's issues. Right? Trade, and then call a marriage counselor. Don't do that. Or maybe, who knows? But look, you don't like to talk about them. You don't like to think about them. You have tucked them away somewhere in the dark corners of your life and in your heart. And for some of you, I understand why, because bad things happen. You have tucked away some pain. You've tucked away abuse. You've tucked away betrayal. You've tucked those things away. And they're in the darkness of your heart and in your soul. And they make their way out. Jesus says they're going to continue to make their way out until you allow him. Please hear me. We're not going to deal with these issues. We're not going to handle these issues. What Jesus wants to do is to heal these issues. And that is such a distinction. Right? He's not telling you to get over them. He wants to help you be healed from these issues. And there's this guy, his name's Paul. We talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring because Paul wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. And Paul would write letters to churches he would help start. He was an early church pastor and leader. And in one of his letters to the church at Ephesus, he deals with this very issue. And he tells us how to be healed. He tells us how to be freed from the baggage that's weighing us down and is weighing our words down. And the very first thing he says is that you've got to bring it to the light. You've got to put light in it. They told y'all we opened with that song for a reason. Thought that was pretty cool. What y'all think? Like that song. Yeah. Some of y'all, Be honest, though. Some of you walked in church, you're like, I'm in the wrong place. What happened? What is this? I like it. I don't like it. I'm not sure, but this is confusing. But then we brought you back. But no, what Paul says is that all these things that we've allowed to just sit in darkness and just grow and fester and stir and to keep seeping and finding their way out through our words. Paul's like, that's not how we're going to deal with it. So we're going to turn over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, and I want you to see what Paul says. I want you to see how Paul says that we are going to solve this problem. And here's what he says in Ephesians 5, chapter 8, talking about what's going on inside of us. He says, for once you were full of darkness, full of confusion. This is before you were a Christian. For some of you, you're not a Christian today. You don't believe in Jesus, and I'm not trying to be offensive, but this is what Paul's saying. He's saying, you're still living in the dark. You're still living in a place where you can't get to the other side of what God wants for your life, and that's because Jesus is the bridge. But he's saying for all of us today, if you are a Christian or if you're not, you were once in darkness, but now if you have Jesus, you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. Now that doesn't mean a lot to us in the 21st century. We don't understand what it means to live as people of light. So I want to take you back, because to Paul's audience, who would have known Jesus' teachings, who would have heard from some of the apostles who were with him, they would have known exactly what this meant. And later, after this letter, one of Jesus' best friends, a guy named John, is going to write down this teaching so that we even know what they were talking about. But this is the teaching, and this is the thought that would have come to mind immediately when Paul says, live as people of light. This is what would have come to mind. It would have come to mind the very beginning of the book of John, which is the fourth gospel, the fourth biography of Jesus' life. This is how John begins that biography. He says this. He says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word is Jesus. The Word equals Jesus. In the beginning, Jesus already existed. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. Here's what he's trying to say. He's trying to say, Jesus, your Savior, this guy who we worship, has been around forever. He was with God, and he created everything. Everything was created through him, so he is all-powerful. He controls everything, and that's not even the best part. Then it says this. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Jesus brought light. Jesus was light. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The darkness can never extinguish it. Here's what John is saying, and here's what you need to understand about Jesus before you can understand exactly what Paul will say. He's saying, Jesus, this guy who you love and who you worship, this guy who came and gave his life for you, who died on the cross for you, this guy who also came back to life, this guy who created everything, created the universe out of nothing, this all-loving, all-powerful, unstoppable God of the universe wants to help you. Now just think about that. Think about what he's saying. All-loving, all-powerful, unstoppable, wants to help you. Now, you have to understand that if you're sitting there thinking, my issues are too big, my struggles are too much, Trey, you don't understand what happened to me. You don't understand the hurt. You don't understand what has to be healed. You don't understand what I've got in my bag. You don't understand what I'm hiding. You don't understand what comes up. You don't understand it. You know what? I don't. But guess who does? The all-loving, all-powerful, unstoppable God of the universe who wants to help you. So, when he's talking about light, he's talking about all-loving, all-powerful, unstoppable God of the universe, the power to raise the dead, the power to create the world out of nothing, at your fingertips, your access to heal what's going on inside of you. So, with that in mind, let's go back and let's see what Paul has to say. Paul says this, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. Live as people who know they have access to the all-loving, all-powerful, unstoppable God of the universe. You have access to that. He wants to live inside of you. And when you give him access, watch what happens. For the light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, yes, you have issues. Yes, you have baggage. Yes, you have struggles. Yes, you have pain. You have jealousies. You have anger. You have bitterness. You have things inside of you, and they are going to keep coming out, and they are going to cause more and more damage. Until you realize the access you have to the all-loving, all-powerful, unstoppable God of the universe, and you simply choose to open your heart and your life to him. Until you choose to say, all right, these are my struggles. These are my hurts. This is my baggage. This is what I'm dealing with. This is what happened to me. And quite frankly, Jesus, I'm mad at you. How could you let him do that to me? How could you let her say that? How could you let that happen? Folks, we serve a God big enough that you can complain to every now and again if you need to. He's okay. What you can't do is let it live inside and let it live in the darkness and let it fester and let it grow and let it come out in inopportune times and let it come out on people who don't deserve it. Let it come out on people who didn't do anything. But until we get this right, until we invite the light in, until we try to live a life that says, Jesus, please come in and help me. Please come in and heal me. Please come in and fix this. We'll never be able to change our words or anything else about our life. Because as Jesus says, as Jesus taught us, it's our words that reveal what we seek to conceal. They just will. You know it. I know it. We all know it. But here's the promise. And here's what I hope you get today. And here's what I hope you leave here understanding. And here's what I hope you leave here opening yourself up to. That yes, our words reveal what we seek to conceal. That's true. But here's the promise of Jesus. It's this. The light will heal what we choose to reveal. That's the promise. Jesus will heal it. He won't help it. He will heal it. Jesus can heal your hurt. He can heal your pain. He can heal your bitterness and your jealousy. He can do it. He promises he will. He heals it and he replaces it. He fills it with something else. That's what Paul tells us in yet another letter. Watch this. This is what happens when you invite Jesus in and when you ask him to join you and to begin taking advantage, taking full authority over your life. Watch this. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what God begins to replace your hurts with. Now, I don't know about you, but my words would change if I was full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How do you think your words would be different? What kind of weight would they have if every word you spoke was filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? All we have to do is open ourselves up to the light. All we have to do is open ourselves up to Jesus. All we have to do is have honest conversations with him and with people who love him, and honest conversations with people around us. Say, hey, this is what I'm struggling with. You get in your circle and say, man, I am so bitter. I am so jealous. I am so angry. I am so hurt. I am so regretful. I am so whatever it is. Whatever it is, Jesus is saying, man, I'm ready to help. I'm ready to heal you. I want in. I want to heal you. I want to replace it with these amazing things. And guess what happens? When you're full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and then something bad happens, and a little bitterness wants to plant itself in your baggage, guess what? Your bags are full. But full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And self-control says, I don't think so. You're not welcome here. Get out. And it all starts with just a simple acknowledgement. Okay, this is happening. There are things going on inside of me. I need to be healed. I need to give them to Jesus. I need to open myself up. I need to give them to the light. I need to bring them to the light. I need to stop hiding them. I need to stop ignoring them. I need to stop denying them. I need to stop acting like they don't exist. I have to be real with my Heavenly Father. So here's the question, and we're done. Here's my question. Today as we leave, what are you going to do with your baggage? Because we all have it. We have two choices. We can keep it sealed up right over here in the corner. We can keep it locked up. Have no idea how much it weighs. We can keep trying to carry around the bags as they weigh more and more and more. And they start hurting our back. We start getting pains everywhere. You can keep carrying it around. You can keep lugging it. And it can keep causing damage everywhere you turn. Or, today you can choose to say, you know what? I'm going to open myself up. Jesus, this is my baggage. This is my pain. These are my regrets. These are my hurts. I have no idea what to do, but I hope you do. So we're going to close with a song. And my prayer as we sing this song is that you will begin to deal with this with Jesus. Now, please hear me. Please hear me. I am not telling you to let go of your baggage. I am not saying just let it go. No one is saying let it go. What happened to you was too serious. What happened to you was too life-changing. I'm not saying let it go. I'm inviting you to lay it down. Just lay it at Jesus' feet. He knows about it. He sees it. He wants to help. And it's weighing you down. So don't let it go. Lay it down. Just lay it at Jesus' feet. Just hand it to Jesus. Just hand it to him. And just say, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired of being jealous. I'm tired of being angry. I'm tired of this. Heal me. And here's the cool thing. When you do that, you invite an all-loving, all-powerful, unstoppable God of the universe into your situation. And I promise you, he can handle it. He can heal it. He died to prove it. He came back to life to assure you he was powerful enough to do it. And until we embrace it, we're going to repeat the pattern. Because our words reveal what we choose to conceal. They just do. Our words reveal what we choose to conceal. But here's the promise, and we're done. The promise is that Jesus, the light, will heal what we choose to reveal. So as I pray and as we sing, the choice is yours. And the choices are very clear. Maintain status quo, keep locked up, continue to cause pain. Invite the light in, be healed, and live a life that's immeasurably better than you can ask or imagine. Guaranteed by an all-loving, all-powerful, unstoppable God of the universe. How's this a choice? So I'm going to pray. And we're going to sing. And you open yourself up. You invite Jesus in. You lay your issues at his feet. And you trust that he can heal you and that he can fill you with emotions and feelings you never thought possible. With love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And you watch as your communication changes as he heals you from the inside out. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We just thank you that you love us. We thank you. You are so just real with us and so practical, Father. Lord, we all have issues. We all have baggage. We all have struggles. We all have pain. And we all try to deal with it ourselves. We all try to keep it bottled up and locked inside. Father, I pray today that your Holy Spirit will break us free from that trap. Break us free from that chain. Lord, may we open ourselves up to you. May we open up to the light. May we allow your light to shine in every corner of our soul. May we hand it all to you so that you can not only seek it, but you can heal it. That you can set us free from these emotions that are weighing down our words. These emotions that are coming out at the wrong moment and causing pain to the wrong person. Father, we invite you in to heal us. And we thank you because we know you will. It's in your son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.